Hi, I'm Chad McCord, Director of Missions Mobilization. You are listening to a Mississippi Baptist Convention Board production.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening today to the Mississippi Baptist Around the Table podcast. My name is Tanner Cade, Communications Director, alongside the John Martin, Chief Strategy Officer. Make sure I get that right. There you go. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm glad you guys could join us today. We're going to jump into a conversation that we recorded while we were at the Timothy Project last week. Brian Hood, who is the pastor of Community Point Church in Hernando, is going to talk to us about his church plant and all the great things that are going on there. We're joined also with Joe Horan, who is the pastor, a co-pastor at Bridgeway Community Church in Starkville. They're going to talk about how the Lord brought them together and also all the things that the Lord is doing through Community Point there in Hernando.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the setup, John. And I'm always the context guy. So we are in a hallway there at Colonial Heights Baptist Church.
Oh, yeah.
Had a good time there. And so I'm not sure exactly how we want to really jump into this. But hey, let's just go. Let's talk about our conversation with Brian and Joe. Brian, it's so good to be with you here today. And just for context, for everybody listening, we are at Colonial Heights Baptist Church, and you may hear some chatter, some movement in the background, because we are in the corner of, the second lobby here in the back, behind the worship center.
Sounds good to me. It's where the books are.
The book table is right behind us. Yeah. And so this is the Timothy Project Conference, and I tell you what, that's about the seventh or eighth book I've seen out. You've been loaded down, Brian, with some books.
Yes, yeah. I have. I love it.
Yeah.
And so this has been a great conference. I think it's year four for Chad Hunsberger and the team here at Colonial Heights. I know Jerry Welch has a key role. There's lots of players involved that lead this, and so I'm glad they do this here in Ridgeland, Mississippi. But today, Brian, we have you here at the conference, and you know we joked about it yesterday. Hey, let's get on the podcast, right? You want to go on? Let's do that. Let's do that. And so to start, tell us about your background, kind of just maybe your family. You're from Virginia.
Yes.
So talk to us briefly about that journey from Virginia to Mississippi and a little bit about your family.
Okay. Well, again, Brian Hood. So I'm so glad. Thank you guys for allowing me to be here. Thank you, Joe. Yeah. Thank you as well. But to make a long story short, just a little bit about my background. Born in Warsaw, Virginia, spent a lot of time there in my teenage years, moved to Millport, Alabama, and for a summer I was going to go back, but stayed and was very fortunate to be there with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And from there, got a full scholarship after I graduated high school to MUW there in Columbus, and there met my wife. During that time, God had called me into the ministry. Had been running for quite some time, but very thankful that I yield and gave up in that and accepted the call there. And so been in ministry for 29 years of preaching.
Amen.
17 years of those years has been a senior pastor. So very thankful. And 15 of those years, been a senior pastor of an existing church. And then now the last 2 years in this 17-year journey has been a lead pastor of a new church plant. So very thankful for that.
Yeah, awesome. So tell us a little bit about your church plant experience, right? I mean, I know you go through assessment with 242, but you're also partnered up with Longview Point. Mm-hmm. And can you talk a little bit about Longview Point and their DNA of planting and how that connected you ultimately to plant a church in DeSoto County?
So very thankful for Longview Point, and I'll tell anybody because they were the ones that gave birth to our church plant, Community Point. So very, very thankful to Brother Way and to his staff for that. And I had the opportunity to be a part of their residency program for 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's in that where, I mean, you really learn the basics. For me, because I've already had a lot of experience, but it was a good refresher too and a good reminder at times from pastoral leadership, what it really means to lead a congregation. Also in what it really means, we know that the church is not an organization, but it's an organism.
Yeah.
But even in that, leadership is starting from the ground up and what that looks like and what that really entails and what that journey looks like. So through their residency program, was able to see a lot of those things and had an opportunity to talk to some guys along that journey who was able to impart some wisdom and some nuggets, too, that has helped me along the way.
Yeah, yeah. So the residency, sorry, I guess I should know this, but the residency is 2 years, and then in the midst of that 2 years, you go through assessment?
You go to assessment before you get to
the 2 years.
Before the 2 years.
Yeah,
and so it's through 242, and getting a chance to work with a lot of people who not only just assess me, but my wife as well, to, again, to make sure that we have a healthy marriage, because I do believe that sometimes people forget that family is a biblical matter.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
so if your family goes, so goes the ministry.
Yeah, sure.
And so we really wanted to make sure that we were ready in that aspect from a healthy standpoint of view, a marriage, and then just healthy overall spiritually. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of good nuggets, too, that I was able to pick up in that as
well. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So, Joe, you've known Brian for a long time, and you've been a church planter. Right.
So I have not.
Oh, okay. I thought that community was a church plant.
No, so I came in to do revitalization at Starkville Community Church back in 2017.
Okay.
There's a lot of, and we've even talked about, there's a lot of overlay between church planting and church revitalization.
Yeah.
They each have their own, I think, burdens and challenges, but I think there's a lot of similarities as well. You know, and so Brian and I met back in 2018 when he was pastoring 10th Avenue Baptist Church over in Columbus, and just kind of hit it off. He's one of the smartest dudes I've ever met in my life.
That's right.
And so we just appreciate, I think, each other's
He's not
heart.
Very smart because he wanted to be on this podcast. Just
saying. And he asked for it, you know? He asked for it. But I think we shared a similar heart for ministry, for what we felt like the church could be.
Yeah.
And I think both of us, too, shared a heart for the ability to build cross-cultural relationships that were just honest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not built on anyone else's expectations or and not built on trying to make each other feel good. That's one of the things I love about Brian is I don't have to self-filter, and hopefully he doesn't have to self-filter with me. You know, so we just kind of hit that off into a real just deep friendship in ministry.
Yeah, and what I was gonna ask you back to Joe. Sorry, we're sharing a microphone. We're back and forth. So, you know, you talk about these similarities between revitalization and planting. There are some character traits that I think are necessary to be a successful planter and to be a successful revitalizer as well. So, what are some of those? And are there some that are unique one to the other?
Yeah,
from
I think one, to be successful both in planting and revitalization, you've got to be a self-motivator. If anyone else is having to crank your engine, you're not going to be able to do it, because so much of it is building from the ground up. You know, at Starkville Community Church, there were 39 people there my first Sunday. And I mean, I had more people in my choir back in Texas before we moved than were in the entire church when we got there. So I think you've got to be a self-starter. I also think you have to have a pretty thick skin to know that you are not seeking approval from the outside, because it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
One, it's going to be hard to get anyone to come in from the outside for a while.
Yeah.
But two, I think you've got to be able to know that you see what needs to be done and you do it. And if people like it, they like it. If they don't like it, well, it's still what needed to be done. You know. And then I think patience and... And Brian can kind of speak to that too, but I tell guys all the time, what I learned in revitalization is that there was no silver bullet, that there was no one button or one lever that I pushed that all of a sudden turned things around. It was a thousand small buttons, a thousand small levers that we just kind of had to keep nudging up. And it was the cumulative effect of all of those things that God used to make a difference for us.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
That's good. And I'll say, so Joe sat down with us in a podcast about a year ago about the church merger story there in Starkville, which is now Bridgeway Church
in
Grant Arinder, and y'all are co-pastoring.
Yep.
And if you can, we'll put a link to that in the show notes just so you can go back and listen to the story. I know a lot's happened in a year for you guys. As you say, all those thousands of pieces continue to come together, right?
Yes.
In that journey of Bridgeway. And so it's good to hear what God's doing there. And so I was going to go and ask Brian a question of, so as you're talking about church planning, why Hernando? Why that area? Let's talk about that community a little bit, and then the makeup of your church there at Community Point Church and Hernando. You meet in the library, right?
Yes, sir. We meet in the library right there on what they call the square,
the town square, which is nice. I've seen that. That's a very nice area of town. That's a very nice area of town. So we talked about all these pieces that have to come together for growing the church. Talk to us about your church and just those pieces that you're working with as you're looking to lead this church plan into year two.
Is that and a little bit? Year two. Mm-hmm. We're a little over 2 years.
Yeah.
And so, Hernando, that's God. I really will say that is God because up until I actually came to Hernando, I didn't even know Hernando exists.
Let's go.
So again, so very thankful for God in that aspect. But the community itself. It is predominantly Caucasian. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there are pockets of other minorities. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, with that being said, our church family is very, very unique, and I love our church family. 98% Caucasian, and then the other 2% is minority, African-American and Asian-American.
Wow.
And so very thankful for that. Yeah. And I have people ask me all the time, how did you make that happen? And so I tell people, number one, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
It was God. Mm. But number two, this was not manufactured. This was God, because the intent was never to build a certain type of church or have a certain type of people. Mm. The goal has always been to plant a healthy church in the Lord.
Yeah.
And whatever the look like of it was going to be, or the makeup, that's God's jurisdiction, not mine. And so I just wanted to be faithful in whatever that makeup looked like.
Well, you know, we struggle so much with having truly multicultural congregations. As a matter of fact, when we talk about multicultural, we often think about ministering to churches of different cultures, not really trying to make a church both Caucasian, African-American, Asian, whatever it might be. And so what you're doing is very unique. And you know this, right?
Right.
As an African-American man, to be the pastor of a majority Caucasian, in Mississippi anyway, it's very unique. And I think we just need to stop for a moment and say that it absolutely is a work of God. Because God's the only one that can break that sin of racism and, you know, the sin that we have in our minds of the way people look and thoughts that we have about people or certain nationalities. No doubt it's a work of God. And I would say the perfect providence of God to place you in an area that would give you the ability to pastor something that's very unique is just tremendous. And I'm grateful that God eventually got you to Hernando to experience that. So,
amen.
It's a unique deal, but it's a God deal.
Amen.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and so what would you say to that point? I mean, when you started this church, I know you just said that, you know, you just want to create a church with people, right? Glorifying God every Sunday, every week in that church. But what would you say as you saw the people starting to gather and it became more Caucasian? What's your thought as that started to grow? And I don't know, you're growing every week, you're growing every day, right, as a church, and so you don't know where God's going to take this, which is cool to see where God is going to take it, right? But how would you assess that? How would you describe what's happened here in the last 2 years? I know you love each and every one of them. And so did you think it was going to be, you said 98% Caucasian?
98% Caucasian.
What are your thoughts on that?
All I can say is God. I mean, because... Yeah. Again, in planning this church, did not know what the look like was going to be. Mm-hmm. Now, I had people tell me what they thought it was going to look like and everything. And, of course, you're going to have that everywhere you go.
Yeah.
But, again, thank God for Jesus, because he had the final say-so.
That's right.
In that. And so now that I look at it and I continue to just see what God is doing, I mean, these are the things, and I'm so glad for you guys, because these stories, you don't hear these stories. The media is not going to come in and talk about what God is doing. I mean, if we believe everything we heard in the media, nobody gets along. Nobody likes each other or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But to watch what God is doing, and again, it's not manufactured. Mm-hmm. It's not being forced down anybody's throat, but the hand of God is working.
Amen.
Where my family has had an opportunity to go over to other individuals' homes that don't necessarily look like me.
Yeah.
My kids have spent the night over at individuals' homes. Their kids have spent the night. Yeah. I've had individuals ask me, you know, what is it like in an African-American home? And I'm not offended by that.
Yeah.
It's come into my home.
Yeah.
Come in and you may see a Cheeto puff in the couch.
I mean, let's go.
You may hear me tell my child, hey, sit down, stop. Yeah. You may hear one of my kids say, he's hitting me. Yeah. But what you're going to find out and what our church family has found out, I mean, we love God just like anybody else. Yeah. We want to raise our children the best that we can in the Lord, considering the way that the world is today and everything. Yeah. And what I found out too as well, people, the majority of people feel the same way.
Yeah, sure.
And so it's just good when God brings us together. And I mean, we can lean in on one another and share our thoughts, our concerns, and know that our identity lies in Him.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're in downtown Hernando, right?
Yes, sir.
For the moment. I don't know what the demographic is of downtown, but is the plan to stay in the downtown area? Or is it, hey, God gave us this building, so we're gonna sit there as long as He'll let us use it, kind of deal. So what's the plan as far as future?
So here's tentatively the plan, because God is always the one that can change that. So right now we have been blessed, the library, and that was never even on my radar.
Okay.
But God moved in that way, and so we've had a change of leadership since we've been there. And even with the change of leadership, God has been gracious even in that to where both managers have told our church family, we are there as long as we want to be there.
Yeah, good.
And so we're very thankful for that. And by the way, it is rent-free. So
yeah,
we are,
that's awesome,
for a
yeah.
church planner, that is, that is awesome.
Yeah.
That is great. But yeah. But I said
more Cheetos.
But I said all of that to say, what that really allows us to do, we are a mobile church, so we don't own our own building. We're in... That's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. That allows us, and you were talking about tents earlier, we have like 2 to 3 tents that we actually went out and bought.
Yeah, yeah.
And so with the help of our sponsors and everything, and so thank God for that, Brother Joe.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And what we do, we actually go to the communities. We do have our Sunday service and everything, but outside of that, we are in communities. We are in subdivisions, setting up our tents and everything. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we take church to the people.
Yeah, that's awesome. And people may not know this about the Hernando area, but man, there's always a new neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, you know, if you've been to all of them, just hold on, because next week there'll be a new neighborhood.
Yes, sir, it is.
It's crazy. The boom, population boom in that area is just unbelievable, especially for Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. So, Joe, I want to ask you a question next, just as I'm talking about y'all's friendship, and it was great to hear just in brief a little bit about y'all's history of friendship there. But as you talk about leading your churches and creating those relationships. One conversation John and I were able to have recently was with Brian Crawford. He's a church planter in Vicksburg. Now he's the president of Mission Mississippi. He spoke yesterday here at the Timothy Conference. But we talked about, you know, what's the most important aspect when it comes to multicultural relationships between different groups? And he said it's really about relationships. I mean, he put it in better words. He's much smarter than I am. But to me, what hit home is it's relational. Right. And so, but what are some things in y'all's friendship that you've learned? So you're leading a church in Starkville, Brian's in Hernando, we're all in Mississippi. We know the demographics for our state, though the communities may be a little bit different. Have y'all talked about some of that as you try to, in Starkville, you have a unique nature of the diversity of ages. You have a large population of younger ages.
Yeah.
But have you talked about just bounced off things of each other just to how you can grow some diversity in your church body?
Yeah. So look, Brian is one of those voices for me that helps me process all of that, you know, and I think what you heard about relationships is right. I think the idea of getting face to face with someone, being present with them makes such a huge difference in building those relationships, whether it's across churches, whether it's across cultural lines, I even think across generational lines. I think the ideas of presence and relationship are so key in the midst of that. But there are challenges. You know, like Brian came over to the house one night to eat before he taught at one of the seminary classes there in Starkville, and I had just had a conversation with one of our church people who's African-American about their frustration with being in a mainly white church. And really their frustration that even before our merger, we had kind of gotten to that place where we were like 10 to 15% African-American you know, and which was pretty good. Felt pretty good about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we did is we added 150 more white people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we added another 100 white people in growth after that. You know, and so basically this brother in Christ was just like, hey, man, it's just a lot of white people. and he was just kind of, he was unpacking for me how he felt with that. And, you know, and Brian came over to the house that night. And so I just shared with him the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, I don't even know how to process that. And Brian's willingness to be honest with me and helping me kind of fit through, I think even helped me to not just react. Because there was a part of me as a pastor that wanted to react to this conversation that this member that I love had shared with me. And I thought, well, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And even Brian's conversation of, look, and it was a reminder, he said, you have to be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I think, almost slowed me down enough to really get back to the idea of, one, am I being authentic? And then, two, I've got to let God do his work in overcoming those cultural bounds. Yeah. And I've got to keep focusing on relationship and presence and faithfulness and being that. If that makes sense. I don't know if that answers.
Thanks for saying that. I thought that would be helpful for a lot of people to hear your perspective there.
Yeah,
that's great. That's fantastic.
So, Brian, tell us, you are, you've got a year left in the 242 process, right? This is a 3-year, is that right?
It's a 3-year, but I am pretty much done with.
Okay, all right.
He said, I'm done.
Let me refer, pretty much.
Financially, are you done?
Financially with 242, yes.
Okay,
And as far as completing all the required,
all the coaching and all that stuff,
definitely, most definitely.
So you know, I think one of the conversations that we have is when is a plant no longer a plant? Like, when is a plant a church, right? And at this point, you're no longer connected financially to 242 or whatever. I know churches are still pouring into you, right? But how close do you say, hey, we're moving to that self-sustaining plant moment?
I mean, we're close, but I would really say a church is no longer a plant after year one.
There you go. Okay.
I mean,
that's the question I was asking.
I mean, after year one, I mean, you don't have that luxury anymore to say, hey, we're still a church plant, because now you actually have something now that you can go back and measure and look at some marks and metrics by
calendar year. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and whether celebrate those successes and even those things that we can do a little bit better. Or the great thing about a church plant is you can go back and you can erase some things and say, hey, we don't need to do that. Because, I mean, you don't have a deep history, and people can't say, we've always done that.
That's right.
No, we haven't. And so I would definitely say after year one.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I want to jump on that just a little bit as one of their sponsoring churches. You know, I think a lot of times the idea of self-sufficiency, I think, is maybe a false specter of success for a church plant. And, you know, so for us as a sponsoring church, we haven't given Community Point a timeline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because for us, the success is the gospel presence that they bring to that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's also a trust level that we have with both Community Point. We also sponsor a church plant in Columbus that we have the same kind of trust level and relationship with. And basically, we're going to support those church plants until they look at us and say, hey, guys, we're good.
Y'all
take that and go support somewhere else. Because for us, the success is the gospel presence that they bring to their neighborhood, not can they get financially on their own legs. Because our question is, what if that's not God's plan for that church plant? Does that make sense?
It does, even because there are places in Mississippi that the self-sustaining is going to be a lot more difficult to accomplish than other parts of the state. You know, I mean, you know, you think about the Mississippi Delta. They're going to have a different struggle than you do in Hernando. And so it absolutely does make sense for sure. And you know, people are gathering together to worship Jesus as a family. They're a church, right? No matter really what we call them.
Right.
Amen.
That's what they are.
Amen. So. And I just want to say, tell Joe, thank you. When he shared that with me, because a lot of times people's definition of church and church success, if we're not careful, it can be based solely on the world and not so much biblically speaking. But a lot of times, if you're not careful, how much do you have in your account? How many seats do you have? How many butts do you have in the seats? But those times that I've watched God in these last 2 years bring families closer together. Mm-hmm. Men who have broke and before men in the presence of God who realize they've been neglecting not only themselves spiritually, but their wives, their children, yeah. and how yeah. God has brought them back together or re-strengthened their marriage. Mm. People who realize and understand and sharing the gospel is not just within the four walls. And this idea of church is just not on Sundays and Wednesdays, but it's every day. And as That's I stress right. every time we come together, it's where we live. It's where we play. It's where we work. And it's even where we worship. Yeah. And so I'm just thankful because when Joe shared that with me, that is, I've hung my hat on that, and I want to say thank you for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good deal.
And this has been a loaded conversation.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of areas.
And we've defined what when a church plant becomes a church. So
yeah, I mean, it's just always a question I have up here. So
well, and John works in this area in his office a lot, but we look at affiliations and just churches that are giving cooperatively to the cooperative program. Can't talk this morning. But sometimes churches have to dissolve and mm-hmm. go away, and it's sad for us to see how the gospel presence may be lost in that community. Mm-hmm. But we love these church plant conversations because the gospel is strongly represented mm-hmm. in yeah. communities, and it makes it a little more special mm-hmm. when it's here in the state of Mississippi, right? When, yep. Joe, you can help a church mm-hmm. here in the state of Mississippi, although we love church plants across the nation and the world. But, hey, it's great to hear what you're doing in Hernando, mm-hmm. Brian. And, Joe, thanks for hanging out at the table. This has been great.
You look,
thanks,
Joe. Anytime I get to be with Brian, I'm good. You know what I mean? So I kind of ride his coattails. He's a celebrity I follow behind at these type of events. So I appreciate it.
I think I'm going to be avoided at conferences now.
That's right. Yeah.
You never know.
Tanner will pull you in.
Take a photo, take your video, yeah. or put you on a podcast now. So, and Brian, you cross paths with me in the hallway, and you never know, brother.
Yep. Exactly.
You know. Well, thank you. And, you know, thanks, Brian, for your service to Mississippi Baptist as well. Brian is a member of the executive committee.
That's right. Thanks.
The only planter, I guess, on the executive committee. And so we're grateful to have you serve us there and then also right. the 100-member board. So thank you, man. Oh. It was good to see you last week.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And thank you, guys. Thank you for this opportunity. And I am thankful for the opportunity to serve.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Thanks, guys.